everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Cecile Gowart, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of super yachting is Charlotte Hogarth-Jones. How are you, Charlotte?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Doing great. It's been a bit of a quieter week following all the action of the boat shows, although many industry professionals gearing up for METS, the world's largest show for yacht equipment and accessories. It kicks off in Amsterdam on November 15th. Before this, of course, is the Explore Summit in Monaco. We have talked about it quite a lot, but it looks quite interesting. The Explore segment of the yacht market continues to grow, and more on that later. Speaking of Explore yachts, one of the big news of this week, quite literally, is that the 92-meter Tatoosh has been sold by Stuart Larson of Fraser and Matt Emerson of Burgess. I don't know if you remember, Charlotte, but we had a feature on Tatoosh earlier this year, which gave an interesting insight into her history, complete with an interview with her commissioning owner, who was Greg Macau. She was built by Novice Krug for World Exploration. She's really one of those iconic vessels, and I'm quite a fan. So that's that for Tatoosh. And then I saw some news that has trickled on this side of the pond that the project to build a national flagship for the United Kingdom may be in danger of being scrapped. I'm sure you've heard a lot more than I have.
Yes, I have. So, in fact, when we were talking about this yesterday, you said I'd heard it was in danger of being scrapped, and I'd heard the same. But it has officially been scrapped now. It is no longer. If you want the full story on that, you can go on boatinternational.com now, and we've got a story about it. But essentially, as lots of you will know, the plans for the boat were introduced under our ex-PM Boris Johnson, and the vessel was kind of envisaged as a successor to the 126-meter Royal Yacht Britannia, which of course has been such a historic and famous boat, really.
Gorgeous boat.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's so many stories about her and, you know, connections to do with the Queen. I was interested when she passed recently, there was quite a bit of chat about the Royal Yacht Britannia as part of that. So this new yacht was intended to kind of host diplomatic events and trade fairs, but it was really heavily criticized as a kind of vanity project. Mm. And now that Rishi Sunak, our new PM, has moved in, it seems like it's one of the first things that's been on the axe list. it was estimated that it would have cost about £250 million. So they've decided to spend the money elsewhere, still on the sea. Interestingly enough, Defense Secretary Ben Wallace told PMs that they would instead, the Ministry of Defence would be commissioning two sort of multi-role ocean surveillance ships instead to protect the UK's critical national infrastructure following the Russian invasion of Ukraine. So it's still kind of money being used in marine context, but, you know, I think this is going to be much less of a kind of glamorous party boat and much more of a ship of action. To be honest, and I don't know if I'm out of line kind of venturing an opinion here, I think it's quite a good thing, because anyone reading The Room in the UK right now knows that you know, a lot of the UK population is sort of struggling to pay their bills. So I think a sort of big luxury yacht, it wouldn't necessarily be the right timing for that. Mm. The super yacht industry gets a lot of bad press, and I don't think this particularly would have helped that in terms of helping people see what an incredible industry it is, how many people it supports, what amazing artisanship and work people do. I think it could have got a lot of bad headlines.
Probably, you're right. I'm sure.
Yeah, and also I just think, you know, designers talk about tricky clients all the time. I think the British government would have been a nightmare client. I could be being unfair there, but when I think about, you know, all the different people that would want to be involved, you'd have the Minister for Culture, you'd have all these different voices chipping in. Lots of kind of red tape around it. I'm sure it's frustrating. I know that a number of kind of British designers had put their hand up and said, right, I'd be interested in doing that. Amongst them was Winch Design, Andrew Winch, of course, Gresham Yacht Design, famous for Big Explorers, and Michael Leach Design. They'd all kind of expressed some interest in being the ones to take on the job. But I can't help but feel they've had a bit of a lucky escape. Hopefully they enjoyed the challenge of putting pen to paper and coming up with some ideas for it, and that's been useful for them.
Maybe the concept will attract some other client. Who knows?
Exactly. Hopefully it's been a useful platform for them. It is frustrating that there are no other sort of case studies to really show off shipbuilding in the UK, because, you know, there are so many incredible things going on. And something you and I both know, but maybe listeners won't know about so much, is it's a permanent frustration of this job in that you speak to people about amazing yachts they've designed, about amazing, you know, only this week I've been speaking to people about incredible spas on board their boats. And so often they're under NDAs from owners, which means no one ever gets to see them. No one ever gets to talk about them. All this good work they do is, you know, incredibly under wraps. So it would have been nice to have a project where people could really show off their work you know, publicize it a bit. But it looks like this is not the one. And that's been very firmly knocked on the head right now. So we won't be stepping on board anytime soon. And neither will King Charles, and neither will anyone else.
No one else. Would have been an extraordinary showcase of design.
Yeah, but I mean, talking of amazing designs, you're seeing some real-life amazing award-winning yachts coming soon, aren't you?
Yes, that's right. Well, we are in the midst of the Boat and Design Innovation Competition, and I'm looking forward to heading to London in a few days to join the judges of the Boat Design Innovation Awards to look at this year's entries. The winners will be announced in Cortina, Italy, as part of the Superyacht Design Festival in February. We have had quite a few entries again this year. The competition, especially in the smaller yacht segment, so 24 meters to maybe 40 meters, is really tough. But that's also where you can see the most creativity and innovation, especially in terms of layout and material as well.
I'm so jealous that you're doing this. You know, I always think this is the absolute most exciting time of the year, because, you know, around the time that the Design and Innovation Award winners are announced and the World Superyacht Award winners are announced, those are when people tend to get excited. But if you ask me, it's when the judging is happening that it's really exciting. That's when those kind of heated conversations are going on behind closed doors. And from everything I know, which is not very much because it's all very hush-hush, those conversations are quite fierce. So, yeah, I really would love to be a fly on the wall there, but I look forward to seeing who the results are in due course. And I thought it was interesting you touched on layout there, because that's something we've been looking at a lot this week and last week, just in terms of new boats and interesting boats coming through. There does seem to be a lot of change in this area, really, in terms of how boats are being designed. Only just this week, I was talking to someone about a yacht where you step on board, and instead of stepping onto the kind of main salon reception area, it's like a big sort of spa wellness area reception. So you essentially step straight into the spa.
Interesting.
Yeah, which I thought I'd never heard of that before, but it works really well because it's a charter yacht. Obviously, a lot of the things that you do when you step on board a boat, you know, get a cold towel, get a cold drink, it kind of fits with this idea of then you're sitting in the wellness center, you're sitting in the beach club area before you go, you know, either straight to your cabin or straight to get a massage straight off your flight. So it kind of works quite well for a charter yacht, I think.
Yeah. I think, you know, after walking through boats, and you could be walking through with your eyes closed and expect to find exactly the same spaces in the same exact places they've been in the previous boats. I think in the last couple of years, particularly, we do see an attempt to kind of break that up and change it up a bit.
Yeah.
Interesting result, I must say.
I think the main salon in particular, it seems to be an area that lots of owners are saying, hang on, like, when do I ever sit there with my guests? You know, I go outside, I go to the beach club, I want an outdoor bar. I don't sit in that space, and I can use that for a really nice big gym or a spa. Or someone else I was talking to, I think it was on Apo, I think, was saying that when you step on board, you step almost straight into a boardroom instead, or this kind of business space. And I think owners are really starting to question, hang on, why do I want this on board my boat? Actually, I don't. Let's change it. So hopefully that's something we'll be looking at in a bit more detail at this year's Superyacht Design Festival in Cortina in February, speaking to a few designers about interesting changes they've made and how the future of the GA might be evolving and changing.
That would be a very interesting conversation. I'll be there.
Okay. Well, I think we're chatting away, but maybe we should crack on with the news.
With some news, yes, of course. So let's see. Starting off with some great news for sailboat lovers. The Italian Sea Group has announced a new collaboration between Perini Navi and Malcolm McKeon Yacht Design, starting with the design of a 56-meter ketch. if you're going to start somewhere, I guess, why not 56 meter, right?
Why not, indeed?
The catch will mark the beginning of a new line of Perry Navy sailing yachts designed by him, all ranging from 47 to 74 meters in length. The full line will be presented in January, and the design aims to maintain the most iconic stylistic feature of the Perry Navy fleet, while adding modern elements and sustainable innovation where possible. Of course, sustainability is very, very big these days. The 56-meter model will have a fluid layout that favors soft lines, wide open spaces, and large windows to maximize the connection to the water. A carbon rig and sail plan, meanwhile, will work in collaboration with Perry Navy's sail handling system, with sailing maneuvers concentrated and servo assisted in the two control stations on the flybridge.
I'm really looking forward to that collaboration. I think Perini Navi and Malcolm McKeon together will be beautiful.
That'd be very interesting for sure. I can't wait to see the concept in detail.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Well, next up in the news is the news that Pomare has released the first few images of its newly delivered flagship, the 35.54-meter Neva. Now, if you like your wine, this is the boat for you. I do, and I was immediately struck by her sweeping cavavan, it's called. Basically like a huge wine installation almost, which overlooks a formal dining space and a lounging area. I can imagine having some very enjoyable dinners there, maybe too much because it's all too easy to reach behind you and grab another bottle. But it's not the only standout feature. If you take a look at the pictures, it's Neva's a very pretty yacht indeed, actually. It's got kind of ocean-inspired interior furnishings. That seems to be a bit of a trend recently. I've seen quite a lot of that, dotted with sort of marble accents and art deco features in the main living areas. And the main saloon is a key entertainment hub where there's floor-to-ceiling glazing, glass, and mirrored surfaces, making things feel very open. There's also an infinity pool at the bow, which is supposed to give guests the feeling of being flush with the sea, but it's very nice looking. And the bow design is raised from the hull to create a sort of distinctive flying superstructure look. So her naval architecture is courtesy of Massimo Verme, and her exterior styling is by Pomare. So do check that out. That's on our website now, the Neva motor yacht.
Then there is news of another exciting 35-meter. Ocean Alexander has revealed the first 35-meter model in its all-new Puro series. Puro as in pure, I guess. Also known as the 35P, the first three units in the series are already under construction, with Hull 1 set to debut at the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show next year. The tri-deck motor yacht will be built in composite and features designed by Italian designer Giorgio Cassetta, who is working in collaboration with Andrea Agusta of Italian engineering firm Naval Head. Speaking about his partnership with the Pure Line, Cassetta said that Ocean Alexander has a heritage in its creation of high reliability ocean-going vessels that can capably cruise in inclement weather, and that he wanted that to come through in his design. I think he did succeed it. It looks quite strong and capable. With this in mind, the 35P will be focused on stability and seaworthiness with a tall and powerful look. This is achieved with the help of an uninterrupted 11-meter upper deck running from bow to stern, which shades the main deck cockpit completely and creates the illusion of a longer, sleeker boat. Nifty trick indeed down there. Meanwhile, the interior of the upper deck is a single space that houses both the wheelhouse and lounge area with glass that can be blacked out to create privacy if required. This space also benefits from walk-around decks that ensure maximum accessibility for owners and guests. The 35P will have around 56 square meters of sun deck space and 18.5 square meters dedicated to the beach club, which can also be converted into a garage. Other key numbers include a beam of 7.4 meters, a gross tonnage of 273, and a draft of 2.1 meters. The line is expected to be fitted with twin man 2,000 horsepower engines as standard, allowing a top speed of around 24 knots, which can be increased to 27 if the buyer opts for a little bit more powerful engines. So I was at the Fort Lauderdale International Party this year where they launched, they revealed the model for the first time. And actually, speaking of model, it was quite spectacular. They had an actual model of about 8 feet long of the new Pure moving with moving parts, an opening stransom and sliding sun pad. You could touch the button and see all that happen. Quite impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to get a proper look at it. And
right.
Yeah, not quite the same as seeing the real thing, but not bad.
No.
Well, lastly, some happy news to close with. I'm very, very glad to hear this. So this is the news that the 68.3-meter pressure drop, which is the deep submersible support vessel owned by explorer Viktor Vaskovo, has been sold to the marine research organization Inkfish, which is owned by a private owner. You'll remember we spoke about this some time ago on the podcast. I mentioned Viktor was trying to sell this. It was difficult because it's such an incredible sort of system, really, but it's very niche. So I'm really delighted to hear that he has done that and to a very worthy owner as well. So the vessel's been sold in a package that includes Vaskovo's Hadal exploration system, which includes the research vessel and its Triton 36,002 submersible called Limiting Factor, which is the first fully certified full ocean depth submersible. So there's nothing else like this at all.
No, it's very niche.
Yeah, so if you want one, you really have to buy it off Viktor. under the new ownership, Pressure Drop and Limiting Factor will continue to be used for scientific missions to facilitate exploration in some of the world's deepest and most remote oceans. And that's what I'm really happy about, that they're going to continue the amazing things that Viktor and his team have sort of set out to do. Pressure Drop, a bit of background on it, it's a former US Navy ship that's been refitted to offer accommodation for 47 people, including 19 crew and 12 technical specialists. On board, the vessel has wet and dry science lab, full sonar capabilities, and a retractable submersible hangar for the 11.2-meter sub-limiting factor. Equipped with a depth unlimited rating, this model is the only one in the world capable of multiple dives to the far depths of the seafloor and has been described as possibly the most impressive tool for human exploration and scientific endeavor since Apollo 11. Well,
wow.
Not bad for your new toy to be called something like that. as Cecile mentioned, it's the Explorer Yachts Conference this week. If you'll be there, Viktor will be there telling us all about Inkfish and what their plans are now that they've bought it. But it's great that story has a happy end. And that's the end of the news.
Very good. So now on to this week's statistics, brought to you as always by BoatPro. As hinted earlier, we are having a look at explore vessels. We thought that would whet everyone's appetite for the summit. Our data guru, Raphael, has pulled some interesting numbers about the deliveries in this class this year so far. There were a total of 23 Explorer-type yachts delivered so far this year, for a total LOA of 822 meters, with an average length of 35.7 meters. Total gross tonnage is 10,908, and the average gross tonnage is 474.
That's smaller than I would have thought. The average length is 35.7 meters. I guess it makes complete sense if you're going to remote places and things, but I would have put it slightly bigger than that if I was guessing.
Yeah, I was actually also surprised, but they managed to pack quite a bit on this length for explorer types. So I guess it opens up the world for people who don't necessarily want to spend or have the resources to spend on a 100-meter super yacht. But Raphael pointed out this is a very good result for this year. The deliveries so far are up from 2021, where there were a total of 18 deliveries, and 2020, when there were 16. Of these explorers delivered so far, 10 are US-owned, 6 are European-owned, 3 are going to Central and South American owners, 1 is for a New Zealand owner, 1 from Russia, and 2 are yet unknown. Since we were talking about size, let's point out the two largest in this group. They're not quite typical explore yachts, but they do have guest accommodation, all tenders and toy facility, long range, etc. There are U81, which is a super vessel of Here Comes the Sun, the 80-meter built by Damen, and Nebula, the super vessel of a large Fed ship, which was built by Artigas Armen in Spain. We have an article about Nebula in the December issue of Boat International magazine, so make sure to go check it out. In fourth place is the largest yacht built by the Bering shipyard to date, the Bering 145. It's called Heus. And then in eighth place, we wanted to, in terms of size at least, we wanted to point out the first Benetti Beyond Goga. You will have seen it on the cover of our September issues. Benetti already has sold 6 of those, apparently. Contiero de la Marca is a bit of a leader in this category. It has had two deliveries this year so far, Acala and Uptight. Acala was at the Monaco Yacht Show, and Uptight, customized with a fishing cockpit for an American owner, was in Cannes.
I don't know much about Uptight, but I've heard a lot about Acala since the show. She seems to have kind of drummed up a lot of hype.
Yes, absolutely. I think I heard a lot of really, really positive feedback about it. Apparently, it's from a very experienced yacht owner who knew exactly what he wanted, and he did a very nice job with the yard, obviously. And then we wanted also to point out something that is a little bit atypical, Lady Fleur, which is the largest yacht so far from Dutch yard Holtermann. It got quite a bit of attention in Cannes because its entire back platform goes down, fills with seawater, and it accommodates a huge tender.
I saw that. I saw the videos of that. It's quite, lots of people, I think lots of people on Facebook were misunderstanding and thinking it was some kind of pool, which was quite
right.
Funny.
It becomes a pool and a dance floor and all kinds of stuff. It's quite amazing. It's very interesting. But yeah, we hope to feature that pretty soon. We have taken a few pictures, and I visited the boat, and we had a writer go all the way through and interview the shipyard. So keep your eyes open. Hopefully that will come out soon. And then we also wanted to mention Aventure, which was delivered by Lynx Yacht this year for an American owner. And finally, we wanted to note that the Brazilian shipyard Inache, which had been a bit quiet on the yacht sector for a while, is making a comeback. They have a very interesting 90-foot yacht called Waikiki in the Explorer series, and Hull 2 will be delivered early 2023, and it's supposed to be at the Rio Boat Show, so keep an eye out for those as well.
I'm excited to see that. Yeah, I don't know much about Inache at all.
Yeah, well, they were building quite a few yachts in the last 20 years, and past 15, 20 years. Many of them ended up in the Americas, and they're also a commercial yard. And then for a while, I guess they were more focused on their commercial business and their yacht business. But they have these new lines, which are quite interesting, and obviously having some success with that. So, and I think they will be announcing very soon another bigger boat under construction.
That's exciting. Well, they sound like some amazing explorer boats. Interesting to see both the size and the nationalities, actually, in terms of who's buying them and building them. So that's it for this week. Thanks for listening to this week's Boat Briefing, which is mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. If you like what you heard this week, we hope you did. Don't forget to like and subscribe to make sure you don't miss next week's episode. And we'll see you then.